flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know Mark recognizes the intro music.
Oh, yeah, so, a little psychedelic verse. How are you going to go wrong with that?
Just the attention to I got to give a shout-out to Bo Johnson, because you mentioned that liking that band last week, and he just got in my ears like, we're playing psychedelic verse coming back from the break. I was like, man, that's just the X's and O's, man. The crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
That's getting it done.
That's getting it done right there. Exactly right. All right, let's talk about all these games from last weekend and start looking ahead to this weekend as well. What was your reaction? I think to me the most kind of surprising result was 45-31, but what was your reaction in real time watching the Commanders beat the Lions, and then of course when it was over?
You know, it's funny because obviously, you know, that's where I started my career in Washington, and so I've got a rooting interest, a vested interest. Dan Quinn and I are good buddies, and I love the organization and what they're doing with the organization right there. But I found myself like kind of almost secretly rooting for the Lions and feeling bad for Dan Campbell and like that lovable losers organization that's just been dominant the last 2 years. They got to an NFC championship last year, got the number one seed this year, had so many injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and then just to take a dump in their helmet, you know, in the divisional round this year.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I mean, I felt sad for them. I felt bad for them. And, you know, I really wanted to see Dan Campbell have that success. And, you know, he's also a good buddy, but it was weird. I don't know if I feel, if I'm like the rest of America, but I felt a little bit let down that they're not moving on in the NFC.
Yeah, it was. I agree. Tell me about something real quick, because they lost their coordinator. Ben Johnson going to Chicago. Obviously, it looks like AG's going to get a job. Do you think they have a fall off because they lose those guys?
I think they're still super talented. You know, like, there's a couple other issues right now. They just lost their D-line coach.
Right.
And their O-line coach, Hank Fraley, who is a good player in this league for a long time and is an outstanding O-line coach. Outstanding. He went for his second interview in Seattle yesterday as the OC, the offensive coordinator. So, like, there's a lot of continuity that you've had the last 3 years that is now gone. So, like, that scares me a little bit. That concerns me a little bit, but you still look at them. I mean, O-line wise, they're one of the top three O-lines in football. They've got the best slot receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown in football. They've got a Jameis Williams who can totally lift the top of coverage. You know, Sam Laporte is a great tight end, two-back system that they're awesome. Like, they are still so loaded on the offensive side of the ball, and then they'll get their defensive injury guys back.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not that concerned. But it's just another challenge for them to overcome.
When you're watching Jaden Daniels play, what more than anything stands out that's sort of almost hard to believe that this guy's a rookie doing what he's doing?
Well, first and foremost, I think about defensive coordinators taking over as head coaches. And normally with a defensive, you know, head coach, you err on the side of protecting your defense. Mm-hmm. Like in all your decision-making processes, right? You err on the side of let's protect our defense. And he's like, screw our defense. Like, that's not what we do well. Like, screw them. And so, like, Jaden Daniels, the entirety of the offense is put on his shoulders, and they say, hey, go make a play, kid. You know, and you think about the little bubble screen thrown to Terry McLaurin last week. Like, it's an innocuous enough throw, right? It's behind the line of scrimmage, not that big a deal. But to recognize the blitz, to throw it into the blitz where you have a favorable number count, and then to let Terry go do his thing, like, if you don't recognize that and you don't throw that play into that blitz, right, you don't have that numbers count advantage on the outside of the passing game. It's little things like that. And then it's the fourth down conversions. Like, I saw something the other day. They were like 26 of 32 on fourth down on the season. It's like, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, every other rookie quarterback that's gotten his team this far to an NFC or AFC championship game, every other one had like a top three defense. And you look at why that's Ben Roethlisberger, that's Mark Sanchez, that's even Sean King back in the day with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and there's a list of maybe one or two others. Like, where's Washington right now? Like 20th, 22nd, something like that? I mean, it's amazing. They put it all on his shoulders and say, hey, go win us a game, and he just does it consistently.
Yeah, he's a baller. What about the so-called game of the weekend? Obviously, Baltimore not getting it done up there in Buffalo. And when you look at Baltimore, so close, so talented, great year by Lamar, you know, running back, Pro Bowl receiver, but they can't get over that hump. Now, I was thinking about this morning. If that game's in Baltimore, do you think they come away with the win?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance that it happens, right? That's why you want home field advantage. Right. And they are that talented, you know, and it's funny because, you know, you get the Lamar stands that go after you when you say, hey, he's got to play better in the playoffs, but the proof is in the pudding. Like, you get that narrative exists because you don't play well in playoff games. And I get that he put an 8-play drive together to score and had a chance at the 2-point conversion and Mark Andrews drops it. And I get all that. But they run a little smash corner route that he throws an interception. That might be the worst throw in the history of playoff football. I mean, it was 9 yards over the head of the receiver and 8 yards behind him for that safety to intercept that ball. Like, it is a horrible throw. And then you compound the snap issue with a fumble, and you take a sack on second down and goal from the 2. Like, little things like that where you did not play great football in that first half. And, you know, ultimately that narrative exists because you haven't played well in the playoffs.
Right.
And think about this. I think 15% of the time that Lamar has played over the course of his career in the regular season, 15% of the time he has a 2+ turnover game. In the playoffs, he's had 8 playoff games. 4 of them have been 2+ turnover games. Mm. So 50% of his games in the playoffs result in 2 or more turnovers. It's unacceptable. Yeah.
Hard to win like that. Mark Solera joining us. He's our Odyssey NFL Insider, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can find Hellman's at your local grocery store to add extra deliciousness and flavor to your game day dishes this football season. The Eagles are not afraid to just give Saquon the ball repeatedly, 26 carries in the win over the Rams. How do you stop him? Like, how do you slow him down as a defense?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody has a plan, and obviously, you know, you roll safeties up, you get an A-man boxes, you do all that stuff. But the great teams have a plan to run against that stuff and know exactly how to exploit that kind of run defense. And the thing about that is when you're good and you're committed to running the ball against those 8-man fronts, if you break that first line of defense, dude, you're house calling it. Especially with his speed, because everybody's tucked up within a 5-yard area, and you got one deep safety. Now, if that deep safety can chase you down, then we'd need a different back. And so, ultimately, like, I always get enamored by coaches because it just irritates me. They're like, hey, man, they had, you know, I'm sure you've heard coordinators say this or head coaches, hey, they were playing this in an 8-man front. We're not going to bang our heads against the wall. Right. We're going to throw the ball where we have access on the outside. And I'm like, garbage, baloney. You don't know what you're talking about. Because every time you get into the red zone, you're facing an 8 or 9-man box. I mean, the safety's heels are at 8 yards. So they're not at 14 anymore, 12. So, like, you better know how to run the ball in those situations. That's where people are like, well, how come you're struggling in the red zone? Well, you struggle in the red zone because you don't know how to run it against heavy, you know, heavy defensive boxes. And so Philadelphia understands how to do that. They understand, you know, safety rotation and where they need to go and how to get an extra hat and how to turn the outside guy on the wide side of the football field away from the run free. And so, and how to, you know, how to gain an advantage or gain a blocker on the front side. They get it. And so they're going to do it. And if you look at last week, like Saquon averaged 3 yards a carry except for the 78-yarder and the 62-yarder.
Yep.
I mean, that's what you do, and you hope that he doesn't get one of those bust-outs. But, you know, ultimately he seems to get one, at least one every game.
Can the Buffalo Bills go in Arrowhead? Can Pat Mahomes be, you know, can they finally go in there and get him up out of there and the Buffalo Bills represent the AFC in the Super Bowl?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. I mean, you look at Kansas City offensively, right? They, like last week, Worthy's the only wide receiver that caught a ball. He had, I think, 4 catches in that game. Every other receiver didn't catch one football, meaning any wide receiver. You know, Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, nobody else caught a ball. It was him, and it was Travis Kelce. And so offensively, you know, if you look at their offensive listings, they're 15th to 22nd all the way through up and down their offensive rankings, but they just make plays in critical situations. And all, you know, last week it was, hey man, we need plays on defense. Spagnuolo blitzes them 5 straight times, gets sacks, you know, creates, you know, turnovers type of thing, or make them stop the drive, make them punt or kick a field goal, right? They get the block field. They just find a way to get things done. And they just execute at a really high level. And as much as it drives me crazy that they get the favorable calls because, you know, their quarterback's a superstar, mm-hmm. and that drives me crazy, you know what? Really, the difference is that they just out-execute their opponents in critical moments at all three levels, on special teams, on defense, and on offense.
Mark, great stuff as always. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Steve.
You got it, guys. Take care.